I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Do you dream of seeing all 30 ballparks? We've got you. For the first time, MLB and T-Mobile offer you a chance to win trips to all 30 stadiums. Yes, all 30. The views, the food, the vibe, the adventure of a lifetime. With experiences you simply need to see to believe. Enter now.
Begin your journey to 30 at MLB.com/journey to 30 sweeps. No purchase necessary. Ends 9/7/2026. Restrictions apply. Food not included. See official rules for details.
Jake Vaulting with you guys here on Overtime, coming up in about 60 minutes. We're going to get to Get a Grip, as we always do at 9 o'clock, but Browns obviously in a bit of a lull, but still things circulating around the NFL and around the team. And to help us out with all of it, we head out to the Wise Heart Right, We Make It Right, Call Kyle Wright Hotline. You know him from the Akron Beacon Journal, our good friend Chris Easterling joining us now. Chris, how's the offseason treating you?
Not too bad. Jake, how's yours?
It's all right. We're surviving. It's LeBron watch time, and we're all just sitting by waiting and creating conversation. So I would say surviving is probably about where we're at, but we're okay. It's not bad.
At least you have something to talk about. I mean, True. You know, guessing which golf course LeBron's playing at today. I mean, analyzing the foliage in the background of the videos. I mean, yeah, it sounds fun.
Yeah, we had some detectives on this. We got a lot of work. We can really break this down. Other people on the internet do it for us, and it's great. I don't want to have to do any of that work. But obviously, Chris, it's an interesting time still. Like, we don't have a lot going on surrounding the Browns, but it still feels like between a lot of the things getting released by the NFL, we're getting, you know, people jumping on podcasts, and specifically if we talk quarterback. We have reports about Deshaun Watson insurance money. It started at $88 million. Reports have now whittled it down to about $25 million. At the end of the day, do you think any sort of insurance relief makes you feel any better about the situation that the Browns are in with Deshaun?
No. It's a disaster. It's been a disaster. I think I've said it before. The only way this 5-year deal, you get any salvation from it is if he goes out there and somehow channels his inner 2020 version and somehow this team not just wins the division, but AFC championship game. I mean, it has to be one of those seasons. I mean, otherwise, I mean, I know it's the worst trade in NFL history. I mean, it just is. I mean, that's sort of why this whole thing has been sort of weird. I mean, I guess I understand it from a certain perspective, but at the same time, I don't understand it. I mean, you got to figure out what you have in Shador, and before you go into the 27 draft, which maybe this is the year that they finally get it right, that it really is a deep quarterback class. I think we're due one. So, I mean, you can't tell me that Deshaun Watson is your quarterback of the future. Because even if he goes out and plays well this year, was it just a blip? Mm-hmm. I mean, did Monken really unlock something? And I think I've said this before on your show. He's going to be 31 on opening day. The bulk of your offensive core players are going, you know, they're 26 or younger. The timelines don't add up. And so if you bring him back after for 27, you are saying he's your quarterback, quote unquote quarterback, going forward. And I just think that's, I don't see how that's feasible or tenable, but they haven't invited me into those meetings yet. I'm hoping to get an invite at some point, but I doubt I'm going to.
I hope for at some point you do. You let me know if that happens. all right, well, we're obviously talking quarterbacks, and it is, I feel like, until we get a starter named, a requirement almost for me to ask you. In your mind right now, who is, if there is one, the leader in your mind to be the starter for week one?
I think it's Deshaun. There's a part of me that wonders if Ty would like to name Shador the starter. That in the back of his mind, he goes, the way you do this is just how I said. I mean, if it's too close to call, then you go with the young guy who you've got club control over for a couple of more years. So you at least answer the question, is this the guy going forward? Because he aligns with the rest of, as I said, your core. But, you know, I think if they've been waiting for Shador to sort of, and I thought you saw it toward the end of OTAs and minicamps, I thought Shador ended it, the offseason program, really strong. He was ending it on an upswing. Now he's got to go out there and carry that in the training camp and outplay Deshaun, because I don't think if he doesn't clearly outplay Deshaun, I think they're going to name Deshaun Watson the starter because of veteran and, you know, all those other things that, you know, you would argue for why you would start a Deshaun Watson, a player like Deshaun Watson over a player like Shador Sanders.
Chris Easterling with us here on the hotline. Continue, Chris.
But I was just going to say, but I don't, I am firmly in the camp of, considering they have said they want to see them in live action, I just think this is riding into, I think it's going to be around the same time that last year that Kevin named Joe the starter. I think it's going to be around the time it's going to be coming out of that Buffalo joint practice where you've at least had a couple of opportunities to see these guys against live competition.
All right, Chris, outside of the quarterback spot, what would you point to on this roster sort of as your biggest question mark? Because quarterback's obvious, but where else do you see that?
I mean, I think it's the place that we've all looked at, and I think it's offensive line. It's an intriguing group. Because it's a variety of pieces that we really haven't seen all together. You know, the last couple of years, while guys were in and out of the lineup, they were guys that you had at times seen a bulk of that offensive line play together. You know, you had seen Batonio, Postage, Teller together on the interior. You had seen a Jed Wills or DeJuan Jones or Jack Conklin at tackle. I mean, so you had sort of seen, haven't really seen these guys again when you in live action. There's some pieces that really look interesting, and there's some pieces like I'm going to have to see more, and I'm going to have to see a lot more to believe that they have, if nothing else, started to rebuild this offensive line, rebuild a younger offensive line, which is what they've needed to do the last couple of years. So that to me is besides the quarterback is the question I've got the most about, because it's one thing to see them in mini camp and OTAs. It's another thing to see them you know, trying to block the, you know, the Chicago Bears or the Buffalo Bills in the preseason, or even their own defensive line when, you know, you're actually wearing pads and going in its full go, which I fully expect this to be a very, very physical training camp. So we will get opportunities to see that relatively early once they get to the acclimation period.
I feel like the entire offense, I just feel like there's spots obviously with optimism. Like we've talked about the wide receivers this offseason, even the offensive line we just talked about, you know, it's interesting. I don't know that it's great. I don't know that it's bad either. Is there any spot inside of this offense where you can actually express confidence and not just optimism?
You know where I might be the closest to confidence is I really think Quinshon Judkins is sitting on a big year. I think if you can give him some quality blocking and, you know, some good blocking, I'm not saying, you block like the 2023 Philadelphia Eagles or nothing, but if you can give him decent blocking and you can give him, you know, if you can throw the ball well enough that you take some of the pressure off, I really think Quinshon's going to be a really good running back in this offense. I think Monken has shown that his offenses, he likes to have a guy he can hand the football to and run physical. And boy, you know, we had questions about Quinshon coming off the injury from last year, but he looked strong when he ran the ball. He seemed to run with a burst. He really looked impressive when we saw him in OTAs and minicamp. So I'm fascinated. If there was something I had some semblance of confidence in, I think I would put it there just because everything else, there's just sort of a question mark that you have to acknowledge. And I don't think the question mark is quite, the questions are quite as severe for when it comes to Quinshon.
And again, Chris Easterling with us here on the hotline. ESPN a couple of days ago put out their rankings 1 through 32 of the rosters complete in the NFL, and the Browns fell at number 31. Does that feel right to you? Maybe a little bit harsh? What are your thoughts off of that?
I think it goes back to, I'll go back to what I just said about the offensive line, is that I think it's a little bit of the unknown, honestly. I just think that you've never seen this group together perform against another defense. There's just you don't know. So I think that's why I can understand why you put it there going into training camp, because I mean, it's just a bunch of random pieces right now. And, you know, until you see it as one cohesive unit, I mean, you're just guessing. And so it's just easier to put it down toward the bottom and leave yourself room to acknowledge you undervalued it going in and give it room to climb up through performance.
I wanted to ask you about Jared Verse, because Mike Rutenberg jumped on a podcast earlier this week as well, and he told this story about Verse, about, you know, he's happy to be here, and then a story of leadership as soon as he was in, talking about that's not the standard, calling out of his teammates. I mean, from watching this team in the short time period where Verse had come in and you guys got to view him, was the leadership already that outward and clear to you guys, or was it maybe something that, you know, you had to be on the field, one of the guys in the huddle, to actually see it?
You know, I thought you saw him interacting a lot with his teammates, which was a good sign. Now, part of that was his teammates helping getting him up to speed. You know, the first time we saw him was, it would have been his first time on the field, maybe. Which was that last week of OTAs. And then we saw him, I think it says something that he gets to Cleveland on that Tuesday, June 2nd. He's on the field June 3rd. And then he is I mean, he's only doing individual work, really, though, during that OTAs. But by the next week in minicamp, he's very much involved. He's, you know, he's going through team drills. He's, and that speaks to, you know, a personal, you know, accountability that he holds himself to, that I'm getting myself up to speed. You know, it's not going to be because I'm running, I'm behind, you know, I don't know what's going on. I'm going to get myself up to speed. I'm going to do everything possible to get up to speed. And I think that would carry over. I think some of the things that Mike's talking about, I think would be something you'd more see if you're in the meeting rooms or the locker room or a little more close to the huddle, close to the players on a play-by-play basis. But, you know, it's evident that he, you know, he wants to be great. He, you know, everybody you talk to who's dealt with, who knows Jared, who's coached Jared in the past as he's come up from Albany to, you know, I had a chance to talk to Mike Norvell about him, you know, when he got to Florida State. And the thing he says is he's going to exhaust everything he can to be as great as he can be, which is all you can ask for a guy who you're asking him kind of the impossible out of. Although I don't think they are, I think externally we're asking the impossible of being the quote-unquote Myles Garrett replacement. But I think internally they're looking at it like, look, he's not Myles Garrett. We understand he's not Myles Garrett. He's Jared Verse. And we're going to do things that play to his strengths, that allow him to thrive and be as successful as he can possibly be. Understanding that what he does, what makes him great and what makes Myles great are two completely different things.
And again, Chris Easterling with us. Chris, NFL coaches, exec scouts, slowly coming out with their top 10. They get, you know, asked about it. They come out with their top 10 players at each position. Three Browns already appearing on the list after three position groups. I want to know which one's the biggest surprise to you. Quinshon Judkins got an honorable mention just outside the top 10. Same conversation with Jared Verse at edge, or Denzel Ward ranked as the number 7 corner?
I don't know if that's necessarily a surprise. I think it's impressive that Quinshon already is sort of getting, you know, it kind of goes back to when you asked me the thing I feel most comfortable about the offense. It's that, you know, look, he basically played, what, 13 and a half games, maybe, a year ago. And you know, at the time he got the injury, he was the leading rookie rusher in the NFL. And, you know, that was without a training camp, without playing in the opener, without really a very good offensive line in front of him, without any sort of passing game for the better part of the season. So I think maybe that was a little bit of a surprise that, you know, that's I think the league saying that we see the talent this kid has and what this kid, if you put him in the right system, you know, and you give him the right help that any running back really needs to be successful, you know, this kid could be a star. And that, I guess that would be the thing, because Denzel being 7, I mean, I get it. You know, he's getting a little older, and there's a lot of really good young corners in the league. And, you know, Jared, he's just 2 years into his career, and, you know, they've been two very good career, you know, seasons so far. But, you know, if you want to be, you know, be fair and you look at the sack totals, they're not what you would expect for an elite edge rusher. But, you know, I think that could come, that comes with time, because the pressure numbers are very, very good. So, you know, I think if I had to, getting it back, I think the Quinshon one was a pleasant surprise. I mean, let's put it like that. I think it's a pleasant surprise, because I think it speaks to the talent they have at this position, and if it can come together, what you could have with him running the football.
All right, Chris, we got to run. You know, I always appreciate you setting aside the time. You gave us a lot to talk about, a lot to think about, and hopefully as the Browns get ready to get back into action here soon, we'll be talking again sometime soon.
Absolutely.
I'm Hannah. I've lost 75 pounds in 20 months with GLP-1s, plus diet and exercise. On Row, I've gone from struggling to run a mile to running farther every day. You can access FDA-approved GLP-1s online. Get the support you need to reach your weight loss goals. Go to row.co/weight to see if you qualify. I'm a paid Row partner. 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Imagine you're finally cleaning out your gutters when the smoke alarm starts blaring from inside. Smoke billows out of the window. ADT's affordable DIY systems are built for those moments where everything can change in a second. They're easy to set up, customizable, and help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home, and with ADT, you won't. ADT prioritizes your peace of mind with the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. With the ADT Plus app, you stay in control from virtually anywhere. Don't wait to prepare for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
From high school baseball to the men's NCAA College World Series to MLB and all the way to the National Baseball Hall of Fame, how will you make your mark in MLB The Show 26? Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it's really refreshing!
Time.
All right. Appreciate it, Chris. Chris Easterling.
Thank you.
Yep. Akron Beacon Journal with us there on the Weisheart Right, We Make It Right, Call Kyle Wright hotline. We're going to react to what he had to say. And coming up here in 5 minutes, everybody tried to take a victory lap, or at least a lot of people did, on the $88 million cap relief that you're getting for Deshaun. What about the fact that it's not $88 million anymore? You still feel good? Again, that's coming your way in five right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on the Fan. That was Chris Easterling of the Akron Beacon Journal with us last segment. If you missed it, it'll be up over at 923thefan.com. As well, you miss any moment in our show, use the Rewind feature on the Odyssey app, powered by Integrated Restoration, your local experts in water, fire, and storm disaster restoration. Obviously, Chris there talking about the Deshaun contract, and we asked him about some of the insurance money that is being reported. And Pro Football Talk initially had reported $88 million in salary cap relief based off the insurance policy that the Browns were getting. Pro Football Talk has since walked back now on that information. Because there were plenty of people kind of taking, I don't even know that it's a victory lap, but really celebrating the idea that, oh, well, Browns have this insurance policy, and we're sitting in a spot where $88 million back, that makes the contract only, I mean, roughly, what, $140 million? That really doesn't sound that bad. When you extend it out over the course of 5 years, you're somewhere closer to the range of $30 million a year. It's like, yeah, but you sacrifice 5 years of your franchise for it. Like, that was enough for me, and clearly enough for Chris to be like, yeah, no, I mean, it's still, it doesn't really help a whole lot. But now that we're walking this back to $25 million, just right above there, I mean, it sure puts a damper on things, right? Like, when you go from anywhere that is a conversation of 88 to 25, that you went from $140 million that you were essentially paying to Deshaun without getting any relief back to, oh, so it was only $205 million that you were paying to Deshaun. Yeah, that contract's still really big, guys. Like, and that's still in the range of, you know, obviously 40 plus. We're talking, I mean, a little bit north of 40 a year. And not having the ability to go forward with your franchise, obviously, for the last 5 years before, because you didn't have the cap. And I mean, some of this relief was coming on the back end, which is essentially just money going back to ownership and the team. But I think the reverse of this happening, especially, I haven't seen the breakdown from what the $25 million would be if this is purely future cap relief, or if this is, it could be purely prior cap relief and you're just getting money back that you had spent on him and you don't get future cap and you're just dealt to deal with all of the money moving forward. even if it is in the future, it's not going to be the likes. When we were talking 88 million, there was a conversation about, you know, oh, it would have been 20 million 1 year and 17 million the next year. Yeah, I mean, at this point, it's going to be like 5 million 1 year and 3 million the next year. That's not really getting you anything. Like, that is getting you maybe a rotational linebacker. It's like, yeah, fun. That's not so bad. That might get you your fifth wide receiver at $4 million. It might get you a punt returner. It's just not making a massive difference. And the fact that now this is, you know, the report has been walked back, I think does make it that much worse. Like, sure, I am never going to complain about the Browns getting extra money, potential cap relief moving forward, and any additional money. Like, yes, that is always a positive. The fact that this is an insurance policy is a benefit off of it. And I guess props to the Browns for purchasing one, although it sounds like a lot of people are kind of talking about the idea. Like, it was reported in that article that basically any contract in lucrative money territory, all of them are purchasing this. Like, these companies would not exist if you didn't have a ton of people purchasing the insurance. If it was just for Deshaun, I have to imagine the insurance company would not have existed to actually be able to give you the insurance on a player's contract. There's plenty of these happening, so I don't even think you give the Browns a ton of credit. But along that, it was criticism to the Browns for not commenting on the idea that they were getting money back and there was cap relief attached to this, and, you know, talking about the numbers. I mean, I don't know that's something I can fault the Browns for, though. Like, we haven't openly talked about it. Deshaun's still on the roster. Obviously, it's a big money problem, but are you going to walk out and celebrate and tell everyone you got $25 million back for the games that Deshaun missed because he was injured? Like, that just doesn't sound like a beneficial thing for your franchise to do. It makes you either sound, A, like you want nothing to do with Deshaun Watson. I think that'd make fans happy. I don't think that'd make Deshaun or anybody on the roster very happy. And are you going to sit there and gloat about $25 million on your $230 million failed contract? Like, I think we would give them more grievance if they celebrated the idea that, oh, it was really only about $205 million. How bad is it now? It's like, no, still pretty close to the worst deal in sports history. You handed the guy $205 million for what might, at the end of it, you know, you paid him that for 19 games and they weren't good ones. Nobody's looking for that. I don't think that's a benefit. I think, honestly, if you want to criticize the Browns in this, I mean, there's a belief that maybe the Browns either A, could only get up to $25 million in insurance, or B, the potential that the Browns just didn't go through and purchase the biggest insurance plan that was available to them. If that information came out, if Andrew Berry or Jimmy Haslam for any reason just decided to be like, well, we could have gotten more, but we decided not to go with the biggest insurance plan. Yeah, go ahead and criticize the Browns. Like, then you can go ahead and rip them. I just don't think you get criticism for not talking about it. Like, somebody asked them about it. I'd imagine they probably still wouldn't, but then you can critique them. I haven't heard too many people ask about insurance money, especially not of late. But, I mean, yeah, I'm going to rip you if you didn't take out the biggest insurance policy on a guy who obviously had off-the-field problems, didn't know what was going to be the end-all, be-all of that situation, and what more could have popped up. And you were getting a guy who hadn't played football and a significant amount of time. I would be purchasing the injury insurance. If I'm paying anybody $230 million, if I'm an organization, I'd say, yeah, go give me the max. Like, the idea that this guy doesn't play very much for me and is just perpetually injured moving into the future, I would like as much relief as I could possibly get on the idea that he's not playing out his contract. I'd like to have any sort of relief, but the most possible, saying at $230 million, we didn't go ahead and, you know, just absolutely light that money on fire. You have to see that benefit. You have to see that coming. But right now, I don't think we're getting that type of information either. But this is just something that, again, I don't know that it should be celebrated. It's a positive for the Browns. You should move forward with, I mean, any smile on your face that there is extra money flowing through the team. It's going to be only beneficial to either a Dome in Brook Park, an organization that is now looking to bolster the roster moving forward if we're talking future cap relief. But one of those two things is probably catching a benefit off of this. I mean, more money flowing into the team. Listen, I'm not pocket watching anybody. I'm not celebrating dollars made by the Haslams. That's just not what I do. But if it's money going to the Cleveland Browns, it is always going to be a positive. More money in is going to be more money spent, more money that can be, you know, attributed to the team in one way or another, attributed to the experience. Again, you should be happy about it. I just don't think it's a reason to celebrate. It's not a reason to be over the moon. We'll take the money we can get, and it's still an absolute unmitigated disaster. 216-474-0092. The Deshaun insurance money went from 88 to 25. Are you still feeling good about the entire prospects of it all? Plus, coming up here in 5 minutes, Mike Gruttenberg had very glowing words to say about Jared Verse, and expectations certainly sitting at a very, very high amount replacing Myles Garrett. We'll talk about if they're too high. Again, in 5 minutes, right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick. I'm a fan. 18 minutes, we're going to get to Get a Grip, as we always do, at 9 o'clock. But we're talking Browns at 216-474-0092. I mean, Jared Verse, very good player. We have our top 10s for a couple of the positions put out by NFL coaches, execs, and scouts. And Jared Verse was an audible mention on the list. Didn't quite make the top 10, but nice to be thought of. I mean, I still think in going into year three of your career, being an honorable mention inside the top 10 of a very loaded position group is a pretty nice spot to find yourself. But, I mean, I think obviously expectations are always going to be sky high when you're walking in as a guy who is replacing easily the greatest pass rusher we have ever watched walk through this city. Right? You're replacing Myles Garrett. And I think that's even for a lot of people the understanding of, I know Jared Verse isn't Myles Garrett. You're not going to come in and do what Myles Garrett did. But I think the idea that, okay, well, you're playing alongside Alex Wright, who's a good pass rusher. He's not a great pass rusher. He was certainly not in that top 10 list. He's just good. But a lot of the defense hinged on the idea that you were able to create pressure against the quarterback. You were able to speed guys up. You were able to play well enough against the run. Myles obviously did that really well last year. And you're going to have to fill that hole in order for the defense to still maintain a very high level. And I still think that we're probably in a spot where the expectations are really high. And there is a spot where they should be really high. Right? Like, we should still expect Jared Verse to be a really, really nice player. We should expect him to be the best pass rusher on the team, one of the best defensive players on the team. Like, it is not just that you're coming in to replace Myles Garrett, but and the Browns have done a lot of this work themselves that are keeping the expectations up really high for Verse. That can't be ignored. Not only is it a guy who they talk positively about relentlessly, have not gone anything to go on and say, like, he is nowhere near Myles Garrett. Even though, again, it's implied. I'm sure they wouldn't be afraid to say that. Nobody is out here thinking crazily that he is going to be Myles. But you said nice things, and he was directly involved in the trade to go, you know, to get Myles, I say get him off the team, but to send him to the Rams. He was the main sticking point. And yes, there's draft capital on top of it, but Andrew Berry's main concern was going out and getting Jared Verse. That is going to put a ridiculously high expectation on you. And then Mike Gruttenberg,
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. RX only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney Refreshing!
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
I'm done. The Spotlight with Ari Mirov, NFL Spotlight with Ari Mirov, and it told a story about Jared Verse from when he walked into the building for practice.
I wish all the fans could see my first FaceTime with him. All I wanted to do was just get around him and be with him because he was so genuinely excited. And then we're on the field and I just hear, "Nah, that ain't the standard. That ain't the standard." I turn back and it's Jared Verse. You could feel his energy, his passion. All you got to do is turn on any Rams game and see how good the guy is.
Yeah.
I mean, that's easy to see. But to feel his energy and to already witness his leadership is going to be awesome for our defense, along with the other great people and players we have, not only in that room, but on our defense and our football team.
And this is where I walk into, okay, like I'm sure this is not a fabricated story. There's no reason for this to be a fabricated story. We know that Jared Verse, everything that's been talked about him is he is a vocal leader. We talked to Greg Beauchamp of the Associated Press weeks ago during the Miles trade. And he talked about the fact that, yeah, Jared Verse was a leader in the Rams room. Basically, the first year walked in, certainly by the second year, he was basically the guy in that room, one of the top ones in the defensive side. So I expect him to be doing things like that. But there is a certain level of trust that I get when it comes out of the coach's mouth. Hey, maybe this is just recency bias. Maybe this is just me sitting here reflecting on the comments of Jim Schwartz. Because I remember thinking back to last offseason, Jim Schwartz had the comment about the fact that Miles is going to be, you know, even better this year than he had been any year of his career. He was going to take another step forward. And we all kind of just looked at each other like, I mean, how much more of a step forward does Miles have? Right, like he's already been a tremendous pass rusher. He's already one of, if not the best in the game in a lot of people's eyes. Well, I would say that Jim was right. He 100% nailed it on the head. Miles did take a step forward comparatively to where he was at before then. I just think, again, this is something where if you're the defensive coordinator for this team, if you're going to tell me that Jared Verse is an incredible player, he's going to be a leader, I have this story about him, there's a certain level of trust that I put into that. I mean, if you're going to walk in and display leadership basically on the day or very soon after you walk in, I mean, I think that's something that is obviously going to be applauded. It's something that should be applauded. It's something that this defense, I think, in a lot of ways was missing. It was the one thing that Myles Garrett did not give you. Right? He was a leader by example, but he was not a vocal leader. I think that's one thing. Right? You're not going to expect Jared Verse to be Myles Garrett. You're not going to expect him to take those leaps forward, but you are looking for the areas of, okay, you know, Myles is not a perfect player. He was not a man without flaws. Where is Jared Verse actually filling in those gaps? Because he's going to be lesser of a pass rusher. Myles is the very best guy in the NFL to do that. You know, there is no way to walk in and compete with him. So where do you give me areas of improvement that Miles didn't? Again, that's where the leadership steps in. But the expectations are going to be sky high with that, right? If you're a leader and you're expecting to be, you know, a Miles replacement, I think that comes with added responsibility. And Ashley Bastock of Cleveland.com was on with Afternoon Drive today. She is every Wednesday. And she asked she was asked the question, gave the answer of how much pressure she feels is on Verse right now.
I imagine there's pressure, right? But I also imagine there's sort of that freedom of knowing, like everyone knows that Miles right now is sort of in that one of one category. Like you're not as one person going to make up for, in particular, the sack production. And I think obviously in terms of edge rusher styles, they're very different. Whereas Miles is, you know, he's one of those edge rushers that's good at everything, but the thing he's best at is using his bend, which, you know, you talk about the flexibility, the way he can move around an edge, whereas Jared Verse is more of that power rusher right now. So he needs to, like, diversify that pass rush plan a little bit, which I think is to be expected when you have a guy who is good and only going into his third year.
And I think this is an interesting point to have mixed in here because, listen, the pressure is high on Verse. The expectation is high on Verse. I think a lot of that, though, comes down from the fans, right? Like Chris Easterling back at 8 o'clock when we talked to him had pointed to the fact that so many of us are going to, you know, have this expectation that, you know, you have to replace Miles, but the people in the building are not looking at it that way, right? It is, let's set up Jared Verse to be the best version of Jared Verse he can be, not to try and be Miles Garrett. And I think that is probably a relieving sort of lack of pressure that Ashley is talking about comparatively to trying to live up to Miles Garrett. If Jared Verse walked in here on day one and said, I want to, you know, fill in the shoes of Miles Garrett, that's a lot of pressure to put on yourself. That's a lot of expectation that you are just welcoming, that you're, flat out not going to live up to. I hope one day Jared Verse will turn into that. Year three Jared Verse is not turning into last year's Miles Garrett. Especially coming off of the single season sack record and having that right in front of you, you're just not going to live up to that moment. And that's okay. There's no issue with that. But I think Jared Verse is well aware. I think he talked about it when he sat down with the media here for the first time. He's like, I'm not trying to replace Miles. That's not my goal here. And it shouldn't be. There should be a weight off your shoulders. And I think that there's always going to be, you know, the fans on Sundays after the game, they're going to call into the station and tell us, well, you know, Miles Garrett would have done a heck of a lot better in that moment. If only we had him, how could you have managed that? And there's going to be people upset by it. I am fully prepared, fully ready for that to be the case. But I think a majority of fans are in this lane of understanding. Yeah, he's not going to be Miles Garrett. It's okay if you're worse than Miles. You just can't not be good. You just have to be a productive pass rusher. I'd like to see you get to the quarterback a few more times than you have in your career. I think everybody would like that. But you make your impact felt on Sundays. Browns fans are not going to walk away, and the only thing they stare at is a collective is going to be, yeah, let me take a look at the stat sheet. Let me see if, you know, Jared Verse walked away with the sack today. Again, there are sections of the fan base that I'm sure are going to pay attention to that. But I would say for the majority, people watching the games every single Sunday are going to say, oh, Jared Verse was close to getting to the quarterback. Jared Verse forced a throw out. You felt his impact in the game. Yeah, you can just admit to the fact that he's playing good football right now. Again, you want the sack numbers up, but they're not everything. I thought Ken this morning brought up a really interesting point, too, because aside from the pressure aspect of it, Ken brought up the idea of being beloved in Cleveland and comparing Jared Verse and Miles Garrett.
I think we're poised for a situation where Miles Garrett may end up being the very best to ever play the game. But I go back to our Nick Chubb conversation. I go back to our Jose Ramirez conversation. Miles Garrett may be very well the best to ever do it. But if this team can get their bleep figured out, could Jared Verse be the one who's more beloved and well-liked here in Cleveland, Ohio? Because if Jared Verse is anywhere near, if he can get 10 sacks and he provides real leadership, he ends up being, and they traded Miles Garrett for him and other picks, but he's one of the main pieces. They're going to put him on every billboard in town. They're going to put him on the side of the stadium. They're going to put him on the side of the new stadium. If he's that vocal, if he's that emotional, if it eventually leads to wins, I'm not sure how many it's going to lead to this year, we'll find out. But if it eventually leads to wins, could Jared Verse end up being more well-liked, more beloved in the city of Cleveland than Miles Garrett?
I think everything that we are doing right now is a total disservice to Verse.
I don't think it necessarily is. I think it's a good point to bring up. And listen, like, yeah, that's obviously a lot to put on a guy's shoulders, but I think the early signs actually kind of bear that out. I mean, listen, you obviously have to show up on the field and you have to, but Miles is not, unconditionally loved in this city. I think there is an unconditional respect for Miles. And I guess it's conditional. It's not really unconditional at this point, but Miles has earned that respect. there is not a single person that should be walking away as a Browns fan being like, yeah, that guy's not any good. He stinks. We don't like him whatsoever. Like, no, he dedicated a lot of years to the franchise. He was obviously very productive in his time here. There is a respect and I think a liking of Myles Garrett. There's also people with their opinions on him. And I think so much of it stems. And this is where part of the, even the Donovan conversation about being, you know, oh, well, why isn't he beloved in Cleveland? Because I think it takes two things to be beloved in Cleveland. It takes a guy to go out and perform to or above expectation, right? I think that any player that you've looked at that's been beloved in this city, from Bernie Kosar to Jose Ramirez to Nick Chubb, go and take your pick. It is a guy who performed to or above expectations and embraced or embodied the city. That's all it really takes. And it's a harder thing to do than just knocking off two checklists. Obviously, accomplishing each of those is a feat within itself. But I would say the early signs for Jared Verse are that, I mean, when I hear the story from Mike Rutenberg of him telling you, that's not the standard, that's not the standard, to guys while they're going through OTAs, and I'm assuming at that point he's talking to one of either the offensive or defensive line who has no pads on and are basically in the most useless portion of, you know, their offseason workouts, that's a guy that I think embodies Cleveland. Or, I mean, it's embracing the mentality of Cleveland. And it looks like just a guy who's going to go out there and work hard. In a lot of ways, that is embodying Cleveland, right? It is the put your head down, go to work, work really hard, give everything you have. I think that is very heavily embraced. Those are the people that get beloved in this city. Nick Chubb, you know, very quiet, went to work, obviously performed above expectations of where he was drafted in his career. He's somebody that is beloved by Cleveland. Again, if Jared Verse is already starting with that mentality, I think you're on your way to knocking off checkmark number one of two. The rest of it's going to be left on the field. And I think, listen, you got big expectations to fill, but I think just being a really good pass rusher and having that attached to you, and if you're going to be here for, I mean, a decent amount of time, right? You sign a second contract here, you instantly can start to achieve that conversation of, you're more beloved than Myles Garrett in this city, because Myles never embraced. I mean, he liked the city. He invested in the Cavs. I don't think Myles hated it here, but Myles didn't really go the full way to embody the city. You always felt like there was a little Hollywood to Myles, a little Texas to Myles, but never fully Cleveland to Myles. And again, it's not, they're not appreciated. It's not that he's not liked. Just getting to that level is, it's very simple, but also very difficult to accomplish. 216-474-0092. Our expectations too high on Jared Verse right now, following up Myles Garrett. Plus, coming up here at 9 o'clock, we're going to get a grip, as we always do, right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's absolutely refreshing!
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes.
Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter X.com/AI.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Outdated automation doesn't have to slow you down. Graybar helps you identify risks, modernize strategically, and minimize disruption every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.